I got you, man.
Well, it's Canadian paper, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just trying to do, like,
we don't get anyone here, so we're going to have to give it a shot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people across Canada that can't get sporting news.
I got a couple minutes. I got a couple minutes, but then I'm going to play catch and run and do the thing.
Do you want me to get you after? Or?
Maybe that'd be better, yeah.
I'll be hanging out, right?
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Dan. He's got a... Yeah? I wanted to ask you, kind of go back about, ask you about sidearm, what the reaction people had when you first heard. I remember watching it on TV when I was a kid and thinking you were like from outer space. It was just so strange. I mean, what was the reaction of like baseball in general, that sort of thing?
Well, you know, I wasn't the forerunner. Abernathy had pitched a long time before me, and he was, and apparently some guys before him, like in Blackball, I got his own knocker, heard of a couple of names. But, apparently Iron Jump was, you know, they threw underneath. And then before I came up, Colby was the guy who was the dude at that time.
Right.
And then he kind of helped me out when I was first here. And so I kind of adopted his style.
Was he helping you teach you the delivery?
Right. I was a sidearmer, and then Colby had me go lower.
Wow.
So I guess I consider myself a submariner. If I'm throwing the ball right, I'm more submarine than... kind of in between submarine and sidearm.
Right. It seems
Abernathy was completely under. Sidearm is here, and hopefully it was between completely submarine and sidearm. Kind of in between.
Every pitcher throws away has their own sort of style. I mean, can you see a progression in Eichhorn's delivery from what you were throwing in 80?
He's a little different. In 80, when I first came up, I just had a sinker and a little tiny slider. And when he came up, he had sinker, slider, changeup. He had three pitches. Mm-hmm. And then it took me a couple of years to come up with a changeup and a decent breaking ball. So he came to the scene with three pitches already.
Right.
And he had good control with it. You know, some guys when they first start, can't strike.
Crazy, yeah. What about the knuckleball? Bill James, I read this article and he suggested that you would maybe be you'd be more successful if you threw it to lefties. Now, I don't know, have you thrown it in a while? Is this something you just sort of tried? And then...
Well, I threw it in 1982, right. In 1983, 1984, and had success with it. In 85, I gave up a couple home runs and felt like I was cheating myself, giving up, making mistakes. Fourth best pitch. So since that time, I threw less and less, and I guess I lost confidence in it.
Right.
And so I've extracted it.
Do you think
since then maybe
bring it back?
Well, I kind of hope so, but you know, I'm playing catch with it. You know, I always throw up playing catch, but when I play catch with it, you know, half of them look decent. And the other half don't have a lot on them, and I'm not gonna go out there unless I think it's going to break every time I throw it.
Right.
Somebody Black has told me that you don't have to throw a strike, but you know, I'm pretty strike-oriented.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure. It's got a neck boss to perform when I play catch before I take it on the mound.
No doubt, yeah.
And right now, I'm playing catch, it doesn't perform every time
I throw it. Right. I wanted to ask you about sort of the mindset of a reliever and how relievers, particularly the sort of reliever that you are,
I'm supposed to be in here.
Can you 2 minutes?
I can. I'll come out in a
okay.
About a minute.
Okay, thanks a lot, Don.
I'll be right out.
Okay, great. Okay, he's going to meet me right out here.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to be live right
here. No problem. He's going to come out. Yeah. Whoa, I guess I can turn this off now, unless you have a few words you'd like to say. It must be tough for a reliever to keep up sort of the intense attitude towards the game. Do you find that being tougher and tougher to cope with each year? Being ready every game to go in there?
Well, a relief pitcher has to live with stress and has to, if he's the guy, you know, night in, night out, he's the guy who's got somewhat of a little mountain on his back.
Mm-hmm.
You have to live with that edge, you know, that cliffhanger kind of attitude.
How do you cope with that?
I don't know.
It's just there?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's lots of guys with good stuff. There's, you know, every team has pitchers with good stuff. Every minor league system has guys on every team in the system with good stuff. And some make it and some don't, and sometimes the guys with the best stuff don't make it. It's the guys who somehow battle and bounce back and know how to get the most from what they got. They make it to the big leagues, and then you kind of get weeded out in the big leagues who can handle it, who can't. Why one guy has it and the other guy doesn't, they don't have an explanation for it.
I guess that's in general sort of the makeup of a professional athlete. You know, it's like they're having to balance sort of between talent and mental capacity.
Some guys, you know, we've always heard of the guy who has a great rookie year and then fades.
Stopping if I'm taking any pictures.
You know, why that happens, I don't know. And why, you know, like Joe Charbonneau had a great rookie year and then something after that.
Maybe it's because he dyed his hair pink.
Could be, yeah. But if you look, I think if a guy plays a long time, he's going to have a bad year occasionally. I think I've played with some great guys on my team, and I've seen, like George Brett is 300 every year.
Right.
Al McRae, had some off years. Frank White, it took him several years to learn how to become a good hitter.
Right.
And I think even the greats, Steve Carlton, everybody's got their little adversity to face.
So is that how we should perceive your last year?
Last year was my first really adverse year. I think I came out of the stratosphere, and now I'm on dry land.
Great.
And I'll be trying to make the road trip back up in the clouds again somewhere along the
way. Right. When you were going through tough times, were you ever changing the things that you were doing naturally on the mound? Was there ever pressure on you to maybe sort of adjust?
Oh yeah, well I try to adjust every year I played, even years, you know, when I led the world.
Right.
I tried to adjust the next year because I always thought hitters were adjusting to me. I could watch them. I could see them. And I would be an idiot if I didn't think they adjusted to me. So I had to adjust every year. At least I felt like I did. And then last year, I threw fine in spring training, for fine in April. In May, I went south.
Right.
And some of it was mechanics. Some of it was in disagreement with our manager. But the final analysis was that I didn't stay with what
what brung you.
Right. Yeah. I didn't stay with what works. When adversity hit for me, I tried to throw too hard. You know, I'm not a power pitcher, my sinker wasn't as good. And then I started throwing like a Soviet general, which means I was rushing the plate. And then I was caught in a tailspin.
Right.
I didn't get my way out of it. So. The responsibility rests on my back.
Right. Has your style of pitching, have you found ways to, I guess you find ways to improve it every game, but are you satisfied, happy with the way the delivery has progressed since Tekulve started throwing it, or is there still miles and miles to go in refining that sort of delivery?
Well, I think it's something I always have to work on, because my natural delivery is sidearm, and I'm a learned submariner.
Right.
And so I always have to watch how I'm throwing the ball and practice good habits. It was easier for me when I was younger. It was easier for me to drop down with my shoulders and bend over at the waist and get my body low so I could throw the ball low.
Right.
And now as I'm growing older, it's not as easy for me to get down and stay down through my delivery, so I have to work harder.
I see.
It's instead of getting more natural, I have to work on it harder.
Mm-hmm. Do you think the day will come when maybe 50% sidearmers and 50% over the top throwers? I mean, it seems. I mean, you get a guy like Mark Eichhorn who didn't necessarily have big league stuff when he was thrown over the top, and he learned the pitch, and now, you know, he's doing great.
Yeah,
I'm sure it won't be a very short time before people start in the minor leagues start looking at pitchers and going, hey, maybe we can turn him into a sidearmer.
Well, I think they've been doing that for several years because when I first started having success, 1980.
Mm-hmm.
People said, well, are there going to be more of them on the scene now? And now, here it is, 7 years later, and how many in the big leagues? There's, you know, one or two more.
Yeah.
But there has been a guy here and there who gets shot at it.
Right.
But not all of them stick. There's a guy coming out of Texas, Scott Anderson, who one day will be a big leaguer, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like he has some stuff. But
what's the secret? I mean,
well, no matter where you throw from, you have to throw decent strikes.
Right.
You know, it's not just your delivery. I know in Kansas City, some people will say, well, why did you have a bad year last year? Because they learned your delivery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mark Eichhorn proved that it's not the delivery. I mean,
right.
If they were onto my delivery, they'd be hitting Mark II's.
Sure.
The quality of strikes. I've got to throw quality strikes. Mark has to throw quality strikes.
Mm.
If we don't, we get hit. So for some reason, not enough people have a duck in the Southern style, and if they have, they don't throw enough quality strikes. But one thing that I think you sacrifice by throwing submarine is most guys can't throw as hard underneath as they can overhand, so, and most people want to throw the ball hard.
Right.
And most people are drafted on the basis of how hard they throw, rather than throwing slot.
Better sacrificing a bit of macho aggression or whatever.
And a lot of the guys I talk to that want to learn submarine are usually on the last leg of their career before they want to try it.
Right.
Maybe now, but it's been so long since I'm in the minor league, I don't really know what's happening at that level. I assume it's more accepted than when I was in the minor leagues in the mid-70s.
Right. Were people not taking it seriously when you were first learning the delivery?
Sidearm in the minor leagues, and I did fairly well at every level, and it just took me a long time to get to the major leagues, so I didn't throw hard.
Right.
So I think that it wasn't that convincing, obviously. Right.
Sure. People must.
It might be more so now if I were to come up to the minor leagues, maybe. Now, not only to Colby, but Icorn and myself have hopefully paved the way a little bit for some other guys.
Have you had toughest hitters to face? I know Brett Butler's done very well against you.
But Brett doesn't hammer the walls off me. He hits a ground ball to the left and a ground ball with the middle and a ground ball with the right, and somehow nobody's ever standing where he's in the ball. But he has got, hitting over 500. Over the years, the guy who really hit me good was Ogilvy. I mean, that's the guy who I don't mind facing Brett Butler. I'm not afraid to get hit by the ball, and Ogilvy would just overkill the ball.
Is that right?
Pete O'Brien hits the ball very well.
I heard you, Mark, talking about that.
Yeah. Pete O'Brien hits the ball. Kent Herbeck hits the ball very well. Mm-hmm. There's probably a guy I can pick out on every team. Let me think. You name a team, I'll tell you a guy.
Boudreaux.
Let's see, who's the best over there? They've got a lot of good left-handed hitters, and I think they've all gotten hits off me, but I can't really pick one guy who gets more hits off me than the other guy. On a certain day, any of them won't get a hit off me.
Right. I wonder if it's a matter of concentration on the batter's part, just sheer cluing into.
They have to. But, if I throw a good sinker in a good location, they're going to hit a ground ball.
Right.
That's what I feel like, that's what I feel like my job is to produce a ground ball.
Yeah.
If I don't get a ground ball, then I didn't throw it.
Right.
Actually, George Bell may have hit me better, and he's a right-hander.
Hmm.
But Upshaw, let's see, the other day in Kansas City, he hit ball hard, so I'm going to lean on it.
Yeah,
okay. Yankees, where it changes so much. What's weird is Baltimore's had a lot of good left-handers over the years. I've had a lot of left-handers in the direction, but I've always had a lot of success against them.
This ball's a weird game.
Yeah.
Any parks that are best?
I like to pitch in Boston. I do well. I like grass in the fields where the ball slows down or speeds up.
Right, of course. Jimmy Key was saying the same thing the other day. Pitching next to Shea Stadium.
I like Yankee Stadium. Jerry Hairston, the White Sox, is a very good pitch hitter.
He's a J-killer, too. Are you bitter in any way about not winning the Cy Young Award that you should have won, I think, in 1983?
Well, I thought I could have won it in 82, 83, or 84. Those 3 years, I thought I had decent chances, but no, I'm not bitter. Because I still think that it should be a starting pitcher award. Actually, I had 83 wasn't the year I had some tough times with it. 84 was the year I thought I had some feelings about it because Willie Hernandez won it, and the year before the Lamont Hoyt won, I think the starter should win that award. Relief pitchers have an award. Starting pitchers, I think, should go to. But then when I did come down to relievers, I thought my numbers tried well with Willie's. But, I didn't win. It's no big deal. I got plenty of silver.
Of course, I'm sure your mantelpiece must look very nice. What do you do when not playing baseball?
Well, I'm married, have a couple of kids. I like to think I have a family life. I like to play golf. I've got some business interests. We're involved in the community in Kansas City.
Charity work?
Yeah, a food project for the people who are having a tough time putting food on the table in Kansas City. And we're involved in that. And we have a house that always, somebody's got to take in the trash and clean up the yard and sweep out the garage. And my kids are too young, so it looks like it's on my shoulders.
Right.
I find plenty enough to do.
Right, I'm sure. My editor sent me down here and said, you know, it's my first interview with the ball club, so Danko was a really good guy to talk to. He's very intelligent, very articulate. Seems that you have a reputation as being a thinking man's ball player.
I don't know. You know, like right now you're getting me at a pretty serious time. But there's, like, I don't think I'll ever be a broadcaster or in the front office because I'm, silly a lot of times also.
Right.
I'm not putting you on in this interview, but you know, the next time you see me, I might not give you a straight answer to anything.
Right.
And it's not that I was trying to be a jerk. I try to be a nice guy, but I don't like to jump in with both feet all the time in an interview.
Right.
So I don't know if that's completely accurate that I'm a thinking man's ball player, but I'm thinking on this one.
Right. So no great novels to come from Dan Quisenberry?
No, I don't think I'll ever write a book. If I do, it would be fiction.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you read a lot of fiction?
Oh, I read a lot of everything.
Yeah?
Anything that I can understand, I read.
Mm. Great.
And if I don't understand, I'll take it.
Great.
And then tell you about it.
Yeah, okay. Well, why don't I lay one of these on you and you can read that.
Okay. Okay.
Just picking. It might be in French. Just picking Casey even when the last time. Just kidding.
Hey. You're out to have a good day. They got good some shaving cream in here in case you want to shave.
Thanks, anyways.